Hello and welcome to another episode of the Defining the Dash podcast. My name is Mark Mullins, your host, joined this morning by my cup of coffee and you, of course. It's good to have you with us today for this broadcast. This morning, I want to take a few minutes to think about Mother's Day. Mother's Day is coming up this Sunday. It comes once a year, and so don't let it catch you off guard this year like it did last year. Just kidding. Hopefully it didn't. But I'm thinking about mothers this morning, and because of that, and I'm thinking about my mother, I have been blessed with a wonderful mother, and I'm sure you probably have too. And I'm thinking about mothers and the influences that mothers have on guys and girls' lives, particularly me being a guy, how a mother's life will influence her son's life. The Bible tells us in the book of Exodus, chapter number 2, it says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Those are the humble beginnings of the life of Moses. And if you look in Hebrews chapter number 11, down here to verse number 23, the Bible says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible." And so on and so forth. But I'm thinking about this morning. I'm thinking about Moses and the relationship that Moses had with his mother. The Bible tells us that when Moses was born, he was hid for 3 months. This was an attempt on his parents' part, particularly his mother's part, to save his life. After time had passed, his mother could no longer hide him, so she had to take quick action in hopes of preserving his life. Now, thinking about this 3-month-old, we have a child in our home right now. We got him when he was 3 months old, and child is a pretty good kid. He goes through a lot of diapers and drinks a lot of milk. But other than that, he does pretty good. Don't hear much from him. But when you do hear from him, when he's hungry or he needs a diaper change or he just needs some attention or whatever other reason makes a child scream and holler at random times, that child can get pretty loud pretty fast if its needs not met. And so, if I was living in a country and there was a declared law that said, you can't have babies in your home, and I felt like I had to hide this child, it would be very difficult to hide a child who was crying and screaming every couple hours for something. Very difficult. And so at some point, you know, I would probably be like Moses' mother. I'd probably just give up, you know, look at something else to do. And so, you know, she hit him as long as she could, and she was trying to spare his life as much as she could. But after a certain time had passed, she realized that this was not really much of an option anymore. And so what did she do? She did what most mothers would have done. She made some way of preserving his life. And she'd done it by much ingenuity. Very creative. The Bible tells us that she makes an ark. And she makes it with bulrushes or papyrus. What this is a strong rush or reed that's similar to three-cornered bamboo, grows 10 to 15 feet long. It was useful to the Egyptians back in those days to make light and swift boats. The Bible tells us that she uses slime and she uses pitch. She takes what's available to her. The slime was likely mud, of which the bricks were made in Egypt. It was used to bind the stalks of the bulrush together and make the surface a smooth surface. The pitch was made, that made the vessel waterproof. And so between the two and the bulrushes, it made a nice little ark for baby Moses. The Bible tells us that the ark was hid by the river. It was laid in the flags. And this was another species of the papyrus, less in height of the bulrush, of which the ark was made. So the mother, Moses' mother, her ingenuity, her creativity. It really amazes me how mothers are able to be as creative as they are, as opposed to fathers, particularly me and my wife. So, you know, the kids can be running around the house and seem to be bored and needing something to do. And I'm thinking the best thing I can think about is maybe go to your room and get a book. You know, give you something to do, give you a purpose. And allows me to drink my coffee, right? Well, my wife, she's a little bit different. So she'll think of something creative. She'll think of maybe sometimes Play-Doh, or she'll think of maybe writing something or drawing something or listening to Odyssey or something a little more creative, a little more lively than what old dad can think about. And so very creative, very awesome. Something else I want to point out this morning is how watchful his mother was over her child. Now, she had got to the place where she couldn't hide him, but just because she could not hide him doesn't mean that she stopped caring for him. She was very watchful. So when Moses' mother built this ark and put Moses in it, anywhere wouldn't do. She wanted to put this ark somewhere special, somewhere safe. And so the safest place she could think of at the time was among the reeds by the river. Now, note with me this morning that she just didn't take her child and put him in the middle of the river and push him downstream and hope the best for him. She didn't do that. She wanted something safe. But not only was this place safe from the rapids and the tides, if you will, but it was also a very purposeful move on his mother's part. So when Moses' mother placed Moses by the river, she done that purposefully. She wanted Moses to be found by an Egyptian so that he might live. But in her mind, not just any Egyptian would do. She wanted Moses, when he was found, to be found by someone who could really have the means and the interest in taking care of him. And so what did she think? She think, you know what? Pharaoh, King Pharaoh, if you will, he has a daughter. His daughter seems to be fairly nice. Never seen her abusing any children. Seems like she's always nice to folks. I think she would be. She's got a good heart. I think she would be a good person, maybe. And so she hides him somewhere close to where Moses could be found by someone who had access to Pharaoh's daughter. It's interesting to note that the Bible tells us that Moses' sister Miriam was a servant of Pharaoh's daughter. And it's interesting how sometimes God puts people in different positions in order to save and preserve his people. Really interesting. But something else I want to point out this morning is that to all of us, folks that still have mothers that are alive, we need to consider the eyes of our mothers. The eyes of our mothers. Sometimes our mothers see things that we don't see. You see, Moses, he couldn't see the character and the habits of Pharaoh's daughter, but his mother could. Moses couldn't see a safe place for him to be hid, but his mother could. And so I want to point out to us this morning that sometimes our mothers have this instinct, that this God-given instinct, and this sixth sense, if you will, about things that are safe and things that are not so safe. And I want to encourage all of our young people today that if you have an interest in a boy or a girl, and you're thinking about a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and I dread that day for my daughter, dread it. All you guys, just go somewhere else, go golfing or hunting, and don't even talk to me about it. But if you are interested in a boy or a girl, or you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, it would do you a lot of good to take your mother out to eat, not just because it's Mother's Day, but take her out to eat and let her get an entree and a dessert and have a serious conversation with her about what she thinks about your prospect. Because I have been dated people in the past that mom just had this sixth sense or this gut feeling or this intuition that this was a bad idea. And you know what? It turned out to be a really bad idea. And so, but, you know, mom had a pretty good idea about my current wife, my only wife. Let me clarify that. And she had a good feeling about her, and turned out mom was right. And so it might save you a lot of pain, a lot of heartache, and maybe even some money to go out and just poke your mom's brain about stuff. Now, looking here, going from Exodus up to Hebrews, the Bible again tells us that Moses was hid for 3 months of his parents. Interesting note here that Hebrews talks about how his parents hid him, and Exodus talks about how his mother hid him. And so both parents concurred to the saving of their son and hiding him 3 months in home. But it was his mother that prepared the ark with the father's approval. And so both parents were in on this. And so Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that it was faith. It was faith that did all this stuff. Now, when Moses was 3 years old, he probably had little to no faith. You know, he probably had faith that if he cried, somebody would feed him. Or he probably had faith that if he cried, somebody would clean him. Or if he cried, somebody would pick him up. And that's a good place to begin with faith. But his faith maybe not have went far beyond that. But his parents had faith. His mother had faith. Moses' life story is an incredible story. It's a miraculous story. But his story was not a story that was built on chance. Things like this don't happen by chance. Things like this happen because of purpose. And Moses' life was not by chance. It had a beginning. It had a purposeful beginning. And that was his parents. And it was his parents' faith. His parents believed that Moses, even as a child, had a purpose. And they believed that Moses' life would be spared. Bible tells us that Moses was a goodly child. That's referenced in both of our texts this morning. So what does it mean to be a goodly child? You know, the word comes up twice. Probably important. And so goodly means handsome. Fair to look upon. So essentially what the Bible is telling us is that Moses was a handsome feller. Now, I have seen babies, and a lot of babies. Most babies are cute. Most babies. Not all babies. Most babies are, in my opinion. It is unfortunate that many of us grow out of that baby stage, and we go from being cute to, you know, okay, maybe I have a face that only a mother could love, you know? But Moses was a handsome feller, and he was fair to look upon, a goodly child. And I was looking at this, and I was like, man, what if it was his looks that saved his life? You know? Maybe Pharaoh looked at her like, man, this is a handsome guy. You know, I can call this kid mine. He's sharp. And I thought about me. If that was me laying in that ark, and Pharaoh's daughter was coming up on me, I would probably be up the creek. So, has very little to do with what we're talking about today, but just a thought. But the Bible tells us that Moses and his mother were not afraid, parents was not afraid of the king's commandment. See, Pharaoh had commanded to kill all the male children, but his parents had enough faith in God to disregard this command. Despite the obvious improbability that their child could be saved, they had faith in that God would find a way to preserve his life because God had a plan for his life. Now, changing gears a little bit from Moses' parents to Moses. Moses also had faith. He would later develop faith, more faith, as time went on. He had faith, confidence in God that when he was called to be a leader of the people, he believed that God could use him to deliver the people so much that he was willing to forgo the typical royal privileges. The Bible tells us that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, a lot of people think about Moses and Pharaoh's daughter and would think that because he was one of Pharaoh's daughter's adopted son, that he would have been in line to become a Pharaoh himself. But I'm not sure if that is true, and the reason why I don't think that is the case now, after looking at this, is there's no proof that the crown ever descended from a line of daughters, much less the adopted son of a daughter. And so, would he have been the next Pharaoh? Would he have not? I'm not sure. But what I am sure of is that him being the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter allowed him to have a lot more advantages and privileges in life than he would have had if he was being raised by his mother. And so what are those things, the advantages that he had? So the advantages that he had is that he had access to the best education, the smartest professors, if you will. He had connection with important offices in the state. If your grandpa is the president, then you've got connections. I would even say this. You may be able to get a speeding ticket and get out of it because of the connections of your family. You know what I mean? And so the advantages that he had the best education. He had connection with important people. He had a life of ease and pleasure that was very common of those who resided in the court, Pharaoh's court. A life of ease and pleasure. Eat all the cheese and grapes you would like. He had a prospect of wealth because he would be an heir of a rich monarch. So he had a lot of good things going for him. A lot of good things going for him. But the Bible says that he refuses to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. How did he refuse? I've never read about a day when Moses walks into the court and he formally and openly refuses to be Pharaoh's daughter by pointing his hand and jumping up and down and throwing a fit like a temper tantrum. Don't read that. But what we do read about and what we learn about and what we can appreciate is when Moses left the court, Pharaoh's court, and he identified with his oppressed countrymen. What he was doing is he was refusing these brilliant prospects and high honors in life. And the Bible says that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. He made a conscious choice to suffer the affliction with the people of God. The people of God were poor. They were crushed. They were despised. They were a nation of slaves. They were oppressed. They were downtrodden. And these are the kind of homies, if you will, that Moses decided to have. But although they were poor and crushed, despised, a nation of slaves, oppressed and down, as descendants of Abraham, they were also God's people. Moses chose this life. He preferred this life. He was not driven away from the court. He wasn't told to pack his bags and hit the road, Jack. He was not driven away from the court. He did not lack any ambition in the court. He was not treated harshly in the court. He didn't lack respect, talent, or education in the court. But he chose the trials and the sorrows of his friends of as other friends of God. He casted his lots with God's people, despite the persecution, the poverty, and the scorn of his peers. And the Bible tells us that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than Egypt's treasure. He was willing to bear the reproach because he believed that Messiah would eventually come. And he thought that Christ's approach was worth more and of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, worth more than gold. You see, Moses, in his life, no matter how you look at it, how you slice it, if you will, he had an appropriate perspective. He stayed objective. He kept a good thought pattern, weighing out what was really important in life versus what sounded good but didn't have much value as opposed to other things. And the faith that he had was incredible. But I want to point out to us this morning as we're coming to the close that his faith, Moses' faith, and his appropriate perspective on life began years ago when he was an infant by his parents, particularly his mother. Moses and his mother. Thank you so much for joining us again this week. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode and was able to glean something from it. Got a little bit of a slow start. I'm only a third of the way through my cup of coffee, so I do apologize for that. But definitely something to think about. Something to roll around in your brain. Can't wait to join you again next week. Lord willing, we'll have Chad back with us in the studio. And until then, may God bless you. And keep defining the dash. Making it count.